All right, so I know that the Friends communities here in the Bay Area have been fairly involved in a lot of direct actions for various social justice issues, and that's great. And so building on that foundation, I think that you can say, okay, here's another thing that we can work on, and not just another, but like this piece that we really need as a foundation for these social justice actions, that we need to care for this place in which we live, as well as the people who live in it. This willingness to be countercultural, I think, is important, to be countercultural in meaningful ways, not just because we're trying to be this weird community over here that always does these things, but being countercultural in the ways that are addressing a particular social justice reason within our particular time and place. So when Quakers refused to wear fabric that was dyed by slaves or by other products that were produced by slaves, that was a way that they were countercultural that made sense within their historical context. When they continued wearing gray after it wasn't because of slavery, that's when that became a meaningless form and became countercultural for no reason, right? So we need to find that balance between being countercultural on purpose for a reason that we're called to and that has to do with the justice issue, and just being countercultural because we're weird and that's what we always do. So it can be a positive and it can also be a negative, but in the sense that we do it intentionally and meaningfully as a way of standing up against oppression, that can be helpful and useful. All right, so our communalism is a really positive aspect of Quakerism because we are a people who, when on our best days, right, we have accountability to one another and we use discernment together to listen to what God is saying to us. So even though I have a sense of what God is saying to me personally, I need to check it against my community to make sure that I have the whole picture and to make sure that I'm not just hearing what I want to hear instead of what God is actually saying to me, right? So so our emphasis on communalism helps us to listen well and helps us to be a people who work on things together. So that, I hope, will aid us in environmental concerns because these are big issues, right? It's not just something that we can change overnight, and it's not something that we can do by ourselves because we're in this whole system that is living in a way that's unsustainable. So we need a community to make it feel like we're making progress at all, and to think about the and strategize the ways that we can move forward meaningfully together, in maybe ways that are symbolic in some ways, but also in ways that actually hopefully will eventually change the system. We can't do that by ourselves. We need to do that as a community. So recognizing God at work in other cultures and rituals. So this is part of Quaker tradition that's really important, I think, is that, you know, you think of, if you know the story of Mary Fisher when she went to visit the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire and tell him about the light. And John Woolman went to visit some Native Americans in one of the Delaware tribes and worshipped with them, sat with them, and sensed the same spirit at work in them that he knew. And so he told them about Jesus, and he also recognized that they already knew the same spirit, and having the information about Jesus was helpful, but they were already living in a reconciled relationship with God and the land. And so that's going to be really important, I think, as we move forward, particularly as we do this work of repenting and turning around, because Christianity has been not so humble, I'll put it that way, about being the one right way and the only way. And so developing a sense of humility that each person really does have access to God and that we can find that of God at work in the other person already. So these are central parts of what it means to be Quaker. So if we can find those in ourselves and focus on that, I think it will be a positive that we've already got this as part of our tradition. But moving forward, finding the things that we have in common with other groups working on environmental concerns, particularly indigenous communities that are working towards particularly as water protectors, as they're calling themselves, things like that, that we can work together with other groups and find the way that God is at work and moving in those communities, even if they're using a little bit different words than we might use. But recognizing the ways that God is at work to bring reconciliation between people and between people in the land, and recognizing that that happens even without us, right? God is already at work there, even if we're not there yet. Having that humility and that curiosity to find God at work in those places. So we, as friends, don't necessarily have a hard line between what is sacred and what is secular or profane, right? So we have all of life as a sacrament rather than only these small moments of eating the bread and the grape juice, right? So all of life is sacramental. We can find God in all those moments. And I think that helps us as we're imagining, where do we find God? Where is God accessible to people? It's not just in the church building or in the church hierarchy, but is out there in the natural world and in the other people groups, and like I was saying. So having that sense of all of life is sacred is a place where we can connect with God, connect with the divine presence. Helps us to be able to not get distracted by, oh, they're not practicing the sacrament in the right way, or they're not accessing God in the same place as I do. So being open to where God is at work and going there and finding God at work there. So that breaks down the dualism in that hierarchy. So if we've got that dualism between the body and the spirit, if we know that God is at work in everything, then we don't have that dualism of God only works in the spirit or the mind and doesn't work in the material, but we know that God infuses all of those. So we're able to see that God is present in all of those areas and is already at work in those areas. And this brings out a sense of interconnectedness between all of the things that God has created. So if God is present in all of those places, if God is not just in, you know, if it's not just a sacred space when you're in church or doing the sacraments or doing something that is particularly spiritual, then all of the things that God has created are connected and interdependent on one another. So we can think of it more as a relationship that we all have with the other things in this created world rather than a sense of, this is a sacred, separate time, and this is a secular time where it doesn't matter, you know. So we're able to bridge that dualism and see the interconnectedness between all things.